All right, see. Well, good afternoon, everybody. This episode of the podcast, I'm joined by Morgan Weaver from KBTX in College Station, Texas, and Brad Tejada from Keynes Insight. A little background on Morgan here. She worked at ABC7, I believe, in Washington, D.C. Is that correct, Morgan?
I was actually just an intern there. This is my first job in the career path, actually.
Yeah, I also see you also worked with ESPN, pardon the interruption, with Michael Wilbon and Tony Kornheiser, am I right? And Tony Reale used to work there.
Yes, exactly.
Yes, great. I see that you like to watch sports, work out, read a good book, etc.
Yes, all of the above.
Okay, good. So we're going to preview the game tomorrow on Saturday, Canes and A&M. Morgan, what stands out to me when I watched A&M last week against New Mexico is they had the fifth lowest offensive output in SEC history, only going for 225 yards, but yet they held New Mexico to 91 yards. What do you think was contributed to that victory last week, and what do you think they'll take going into this game?
I think the biggest thing we can take from last week's game against New Mexico is just how efficient the offense was. No matter, even I know New Mexico dominated the clock a little bit in the first half, but A&M scored on their first five drives, and 52 points is an anomaly for a team like Texas A&M, even against a team like New Mexico. They don't put that many points up against just any team. So I think that contributes to just Petrino coming in and how different the offense can really be. I think this is actually a really different team than last year. And I think Miami's also a different team than
Yes.
last year. So it'll be interesting to see this Saturday.
Okay, Brad, you want to ask something of Morgan?
Yeah, man. First and foremost, Danny, thanks for having me jump on with you and Morgan. It's great to speak some football with you as well. I mean, when you look at just comparing last year to this year, right? Going into this game last year, Miami and Texas A&M were kind of at the same stage of the season where this was kind of hyped up to be the make or break game that could kind of dictate the season going forward, right? And as we know, last year Texas A&M won that football game, but both schools didn't do well. Both schools actually ended up 5-7 last year. But this year's a little bit different, right? Texas A&M, Jimbo Fisher's here with a new offensive coordinator and Bobby Petrino. Jimbo Fisher has actually never lost to the University of Miami. This was whether at Florida State or at Texas A&M. So that's going to be a crazy stat to watch. You got a guy in Tyler Van Dyke who's coming off a rough year last year, had an okay game against Texas A&M the prior year, had a little over 200 yards, but no passing touchdowns. And for Tyler Van Dyke to be Tyler Van Dimes this upcoming season, he's going to have to throw more touchdowns. So I'm looking for Tyler Van Dyke to throw the ball a lot in the air, and it's going to be a battle of the trenches. So there's a lot to look for and to dive into this game.
To piggyback on that, when I look at the matchup, it's going to be one in the trenches, the A&M line against our front four. I noticed there was an injury, I think, to Bryce Foster. What can you tell us about that?
I believe what we know of is Bryce is going to be okay, and he's going to be playing in the game.
Okay, so Bryce is going to be playing. Another thing I looked at, Morgan, when I watched A&M is, Connor Weigman had a ton of time to throw. And now, granted, New Mexico, you can only take it off one game. But the thing I look at, what I think we have to do is, I think we, for Miami to win, they have to make Weigman uncomfortable. What do you think A&M would have to do differently than last year to make Tyler Van Dyke uncomfortable?
I think last year, obviously, A&M's defensive line was a little young and there was also a lot of injuries. So our defensive run game was not great last year. But I think this year they have a lot of experience. You have McKinley Jackson there. You have Shamar Stewart, Shamar Turner. You have Walter Nolan, who slimmed down a bit, who I think is going to be huge to watch for in this matchup. So I think this is a completely different D line than you saw last season. And I think they can make Van Dyke a little more uncomfortable and hopefully stop the run game a little better than they did last year.
Yeah. Brad, what do you want to say about the running game we had last year? Because I know we have four backs now that can do a lot of damage. And I think that's going to be a very important matchup to watch. the running game of our running game against A&M's front.
Yeah, I mean, when you talk about last year, this year, right? We had one consistent running back last year in Henry Parrish, who did pretty well for us. And now, when you're looking at this year, we have a stable of running backs. You know, you can pick one of the four guys. But just comparing them to A&M, I mean, A&M didn't run the ball at all last week. Granted, the team that they played, all you really had to do was throw the ball up to Noah Thomas and Evan Stewart, and you were getting a touchdown. So there were a lot of things on Texas A&M's front, whether it's offense or defense, that you didn't really see much a lot of last week. And I think a lot of it just had to do with they didn't really need to. Now, to Miami's side as well, you know, all offseason we were preaching, you know, going vertical. Here with Shannon Dawson, bringing in new wide receiver cores out of the transfer portal, we want to go vertical. Well, we didn't see that week one either. But a lot of that had to do with just the defense we were going up against. They were stacking a lot of guys in the box. And honestly, we were able to just, you know, ground and pound, and they weren't able to stop it. This is going to be an opportunity game for both teams to be able to establish things that they weren't able to establish in week one. But I will say the right tackle position on both sides, not Miami and Texas A&M, is going to be a position to watch, just because we've been talking about the trenches and how well the defensive line group for both Texas A&M and Miami are able to just rotate guys, you know, every other play. Well, that right tackle position is going to be played by a freshman for both Miami and Texas A&M. You got Francis Maiagoa, pretty much, you know, All-American preseason ballot for a true freshman. And then you got a Texas A&M guy over at, I believe his last name is Basantes. I don't know how you pronounce it, Morgan, but I believe he is a freshman that will be lining up against that defensive front for Miami. So watching guys like Akeem Mezidor, Nigel Lee Kelly, Leonard Taylor, and others, it should be a interesting matchup.
And I believe you did pronounce that correctly, by the way. He is a freshman.
Yes, okay. Yeah,
perfect.
Okay, another thing I look at, Morgan and Brad, is the passing game on both sides. The A&M passing game against the Miami pass defense. Because we know last week, you know, I was awestruck when I saw Thomas and Stewart go, I think, 3 touchdowns for Thomas and I believe 2 for Stewart.
Yes.
Let me tell you, I look at Weigman. To me, I've always said the key to this game is Miami must make Weigman uncomfortable. They have to get home with 4. The way I look at it, how do you see Stewart and Thomas prepping for this ball game?
I think obviously I said earlier in this week on a radio show that the biggest test this week is going to be how these wide receivers, because it's such a deep wide receiver room and they're so talented, but how they lined up against a better secondary than New Mexico has. Petrino has always been said, you know, feed your studs. And Connor had plenty of time to do that last week. So I think this week is going to be a huge test for A&M to see how these talented wide receivers actually line up against some better DBs.
Brad, do you have a question for Morgan you want to ask?
Yeah, just to follow up on that, Danny. You know, we're talking about the test of Miami's cornerback play, and obviously Texas A&M, their wide receivers, you know, showed out week one. Evan Stewart, in my opinion, is going to be the name and the guy to watch this weekend against Miami, not only because of what he did last weekend, but when you talk about last year when we played Texas A&M, this was a player that didn't play against Miami last season, and he was probably one of the most impactful players on the football team on the offensive side of the ball. Now, to Miami's point, our best player on the offensive side of the ball, Xavier Restrepo, got injured that game very early. So we were without him most of the game and obviously the rest of the season. But to ask Morgan a question, one of the biggest playmakers for Connor in week one was Noah Thomas, who had multiple touchdowns. But from what I have been gathered and told, he actually suffered a foot injury a couple weeks prior to when the season even started. He was in a boot, and then it got re-aggravated week one. I believe it got stepped on during the game, and he was out the rest of the game. And I believe he is in a boot currently. So it seems like he may be a game-time decision. What have you been hearing on that, Morgan?
I actually did see him in a boot before the season. We have not seen him this week. So, and obviously we're not allowed to go to practice. So we have not been told anything or I've been updated on his condition quite yet. But I think just because the wide receiver group is so deep, I mean, you can obviously give it to Noah Thomas, who I think is a game changer. And I don't know how big Miami's DBs are, but Noah Thomas is 6'6". So I think he can line up against just about anybody. But then you have Evan Stewart, who was suspended last season, and you didn't have Connor last year as well starting. So I think those two are going to make a huge impact this season. And even if you take those two out of the equation, you have Anaya Smith back, who is a huge playmaker, senior, has the experience. And you also have Moose Muhammad, who scored last week as well. So I don't know Noah Thomas's status as of yet, but as what I've been told, I don't think, or what I heard prior to the season, it wasn't going to hold him back from playing. It's just something to look out for.
Yeah. And Morgan, and Morgan, this is interesting too, right? Because this is kind of a similar situation to where how Florida and Utah was in week one, where this is a non-conference game. So even though Texas A&M and Miami both want to win this football game, this is not a game that is going to make or break or dictate their season. Conference play is really where it settles in, right? And the reason why I brought up the Miami-Utah game is because Utah, you know, had a chance to play their starting quarterback in Cam Rising along with their starting tight end, but they decided not to because they thought that what they had in their position group, whether it was cornerback or tight end, they thought they had enough to win that football game and to kind of save their starters for conference play. For going to your point with the wide receiver room, you know, Texas A&M does have a lot of wide receivers that they have a lot of faith in. They have a lot of faith in their quarterback, Connor, who obviously didn't play Miami last season. This could be an opportunity where Texas A&M says, hey, this is not a make or break game that could break our season because this is not a conference play game. Maybe this could be a good opportunity to sit Noah Thomas because of the other guys we have in the room.
Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree with that. I think they could possibly take that route. But again, it's just a matter of how hurt is he, how much they're willing to risk with putting him in. But it's not a make or break game, but I still think it's a huge game for Texas A&M. Then because they have ULM next week, which isn't going to be Miami, obviously. And then all of a sudden we're in SEC play. So I think they still want to see how they rank up against a better team. And I think this weekend is a good opportunity to do that, because whoever wins this game, I think, is going to be overhyped. It's either Miami's back or Texas A&M is back again.
Okay, a couple things I look at going in is I look at the run defense against our run again. We brought up our four backs earlier in the run defense. Like you said, we started, I think you touched on it earlier. To me, I'm going to look at Texas A&M's linebackers, Edrin Cooper. He got protection, his ability to read the blocks. What matchups do you see is key to this game? I look, for me, it's our running game against the A&M rush defense.
Yeah, I completely agree with that. I think for Miami's side, looking at it, it's going to be their pass defense. For A&M's side, it's going to be their run defense, kind of just who performs better. I have more confidence in A&M's run defense than I did last season. Obviously, Adrian Cooper is back. He has experience. There is a freshman linebacker, York. The line has more experience, and I don't really worry about Texas A&M secondary at all.
Yeah, look at another thing. With Texas A&M, we're going to know, and for Miami as well, is this the same old teams, or is this a new-look team? So we're going to get those answers Saturday.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Looking at a couple things here, the five storylines, another thing, like the play caller battle. The thing I looked at when I watched the play calling is, to me, it's Petrino against our defensive coordinator, Lance Guidry. Brad, do you think on the other side is Dawson against Durkin?
Yeah. I believe that's the DC for
A&M.
For Texas A&M. Yep. Mm-hmm.
Go ahead, Brad.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I mean, I'm more focused on the Bobby Guidry matchup, just because knowing Lance Guidry, he's going to be very diverse. He's going to try to throw multiple fronts, multiple stunts at Bobby Petrino. There's going to be a lot of stuff that Texas A&M's offense, as far as what they were able to study in film room this past week, showed me a lot of things that I don't think they've been able to see yet, which could help Miami. I also like to see guys like Nigel Kelly, Reuben Bain, Bobby Washington, and a few other guys, maybe even Akeem Mezador, who had one of the best games last year against Texas A&M. These are going to be some of the guys that can play multiple positions, whether that's on the outside or on the interior, that could help cause some havoc for that Texas A&M offensive line. Because similar to Texas A&M's defensive line, Lance Guidry is going to want to bring in a lot of rotational guys all throughout the football game.
Okay, other side. What is DJ Durkin planned or is doing this week? And do you think Morgan, Durkin, Dawson matchups one to watch as well?
Yeah, I definitely think it's one to watch as well, because as I said earlier, I think this game might come down to just how well A&M's run defense does versus how well Miami's pass defense does. I think Durkin has something to prove this season in the run game defense after last year, because, I mean, A&M led over almost 200 yards on the ground per game last year, held New Mexico to just 91. But again, it's New Mexico, so you can't really tell too much from that. But I think he definitely has something to prove. So I would definitely say that's accurate.
Yeah, I think so too. To me, I got to think our pet, to me, protecting Tyler Van Dyke is very critical in this game. And I would say for A&M, protecting Connor Weigman's critical in this game. Like I said, this is two different teams. I think for me, the keys to the game for me is do not turn the ball over. If you remember last year, Brad and Morgan, special teams, and this is not talked about enough, special teams, really the fumble, the muff fumble by Stevenson, really cost Miami the game last year.
Yeah, I agree, Danny. That game last year, Texas A&M, it gave me a lot of similar vibes to when we played Florida in Orlando a few years ago, where there was just so many opportunities where the game was in our hands to kind of close it out and get the win. The opposite opponent just gave us many opportunities, and we couldn't execute. Whether that was the quarterback, whether it was special teams, or our defense just gassing out at the end. But I will say the linebacker group and the secondary group for Miami this year compared to last year, specifically at that Texas A&M game, is night and day. And I think those are going to be the two position groups that you're going to see improve dramatically this Saturday.
Yeah, I want to see what Texas A&M's O-line can do against the Miami front. That's one I'm going to watch.
Yeah, I think everyone that enjoys football is going to be watching this game. You know, it's prime time 30. Besides our game, the really only big time matchup is Alabama against Texas. But if I had to bet, I would say this is going to be the game of the week this weekend. There's a lot riding on both teams, like Morgan said. You know, these are two universities that haven't done anything in quite a very long time. You know, Franklin Roosevelt, Danny. Franklin Roosevelt, when he was president, that was the last time Texas A&M won a national championship football. That goes back all the way to 1939. Wow. And, of course, our Miami Hurricanes have been in a drought for over 20 years now of getting a championship. So these are two historic programs that are ready to get back to the promised land. And this is going to be a game that I think can kind of maneuver things into the right direction. I don't think either way, regardless if Miami or Texas A&M wins this weekend, I don't think any program is back yet. But this is definitely a big momentum into the right direction.
Morgan, would you agree with that?
Yeah, absolutely. I was going to ask you guys, have you noticed anything among the players or the coaches as kind of like a get-back game for Miami, a little bit of a revenge from last season?
Everyone here, Brad, you want to take that one? Because I would think it is a revenge game from last year when you think about what happened in College Station, the opportunities we had. I was at College Station. And Morgan, let me tell you something. When you hear the noise on TV, that's one thing.
Mm-hmm.
When you hear the noise in person, like I did, all I had to say was, whoa.
Yeah, Kyle Field is different.
No
it's
kidding.
Definitely a special place.
No kidding. The parents, very good people. Brad, do you want to take her question by chance?
Yeah, I mean, just before I answer the question, I was also at College Station, and I mean, first and foremost, amazing atmosphere, amazing campus. I mean, it's out in the middle of nowhere. And
yeah.
If you're not wearing your walking shoes or got your Fitbit on, you're going to be walking miles just to figure out how many steps you took at the end of the day. But it was a very loud stadium, very packed. But I will say this, Miami versus Notre Dame, Miami versus Virginia Tech.
2017.
Back in 2017, that Hard Rock Stadium was packed, and I expect it to be again packed this Saturday. And when that stadium is packed, it is just as loud, if not louder, than that Kyle Field. And I was there at both of those games, Virginia Tech and Notre Dame, and my ears are still ringing from those games. So I expect a jam-packed stadium. I expect a live atmosphere. And, you know, Morgan, it's interesting that question you say, because coming from a fan, right, from a fan point of view, it seems like the fans are the ones that are more hyped, more ready for the get back of this Texas A&M team from last year. Mario Cristobal and this football team, the more guys that we add on this roster year in and year out that are Mario Cristobal guys, whether it's recruited, developed, or handpicked guys from the transfer portal, you're starting to see a different demeanor, a different way of the way they walk, the way they carry themselves, the way they practice, the way they play on the football field. And unfortunately, fans are going to start to realize that Mario Cristobal football teams, when they are, you know, clicking on all cylinders, they're not about the talk. They're not about getting in interviews and saying this is a get-back game. They're ready to show it on the football field. They're all about the work. And we saw week one, you know, Miami, Ohio, first game of the year. We were ready just to put 50 on the board, 80 on the board. Miami, Ohio quarterback came out and president said, we're the real Miami. We're going to show you this weekend. Well, our guys came out in the interview and said, you know what? We don't care about that. We're just ready to play football. We're going to show you. And that's exactly what they did. And I expect nothing different this weekend. They're not going to talk. They're going to show it.
That, I wanted to also add, what did you take of Shamar Stewart's comments this week regarding that they about the revenge game, saying it's not going to happen this week?
Was that to me?
Yes. What did you take from Shamar Stewart's comments earlier in the week?
I just think that's something that always you say when you're playing your hometown team. I know that he loves Miami, he said, but his parents didn't want him staying there because the nightlife might be a little bit of a distraction. But I think it's just him coming home and he's ready to stick it to most probably a lot of his friends on that team. He knows that he wants to get the win. Aggies want to get the win. They just want to show that they're back this season. It's a different team. And so I wouldn't take it too personally if I was a Miami fan. He's just a hometown kid who wants to show out in front of the crowd.
Okay. Keys to the game. What are your keys to the game, Morgan? For A&M to win.
It's a road game. They've lost 6 road games in a row. So hopefully they put that away. They perform well in front of the, hopefully it's a packed Hard Rock Stadium, as you guys are saying. Run defense is huge. And then also feeding your studs, as Petrino has been saying, see if we can get Connor Wigman more time again in the pocket, because he looks great when he has the time, but he wasn't pressured that much last week. You saw a couple good moments where he broke free and run, but I think it's against obviously a better defensive line this week. So give Connor Wigman the time, feed your studs, run game defense, and then perform on the road.
Brad, what are your keys to the game to beat A&M?
Yeah, I think first and foremost, it's going to be to contain that wide receiver unit. This is going to be one of the best wide receiver units that Miami faces all year. And I think Mario Cristobal not only brought in Lance Guidry and Coach Adai for games like this, but you saw very quickly how they entered that transfer portal and brought in multiple guys to come in right away and play for these moments in the secondary. We brought in a lot of guys from other big-time programs that already have quality snaps and big-time games like this one coming up. And this is the reason why you bring those in, because you are going to have multiple wide receivers you are going to have to account for. So I would say accounting for that wide receiver group. And, point-blank period, man, Tyler Van Dyke has to be Tyler Van Dimes this Saturday.
Another thing, my keys to the game is, one, we got to get to Weigman. That's number one. Number two, we cannot let Stewart and Thomas beat us with big plays. The special teams have got, and to me, ball security is going to be critical in this ball game. Because if you remember last year, like I said, in College Station, the fumble on the muff punt cost us the ball game. And the Smith fumble later in the game that we didn't recover turned out to be one that hurt us too. So I think ball security is going to be critical. And another thing I got to do, I say if our running backs get a combined, I would say 175 to 180 yards rushing, I think we have a shot to win this ball game. And like I said, Van Dyke's got to have time to throw. If we give Van Dyke time to throw, he can do some damage there. And we have to make Weigman uncomfortable in the pocket, and we cannot let Weigman beat us with his legs. So, okay, before I let you guys go, before I let Morgan and Brad go for this segment, prediction. I'll start with Morgan first.
I think Texas A&M wins 24-20.
Brad.
I got the U 24-13.
13.
Yep, 13 points. I think you guys score a touchdown early in the game, and then Lance Guidry and our defense get settled in, and you start to see why Lance Guidry is one of the top defensive coordinators in the country.
Are y'all both going to be at the game?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, I'll see you all there.
Okay.
Oh, you're going to be there?
I am going to be there.
Okay. When do you fly out to South Florida?
We fly Saturday morning. We have Friday high school football to cover on Friday, so we make day trips.
Okay, so yes. Yeah, the way I understand that, Morgan, before I do my tradition, I understand is that in College State, that they American added flights to Miami specifically for this game, and as I understand it, they're going to fly back after the game?
We don't usually fly out of College Station. We drive the hour and a half to Houston and fly out of Houston.
Yeah, because the way I understand it, they were adding flights from College Station to Miami for this, just for this game.
I would believe it. The Aggies would request that.
Yeah, and I think they might, and I don't know if they're flying, if the Aggies are going to fly back after the game. We don't know. But yeah, let me tell you this. A&M has lost 4-6 by double digits. Six straight non-conference. 4 by double digits. Jimbo and Mara have been here. But I'll tell you, this is going to be, I say, the biggest game in South Florida in 6 years. As Brad mentioned, those two games. I've got to say, if this is the moment for Miami and the moment that this team turns the corner and say this is going to be that finally turns the corner, this is the type of game you have to do it. I know Jimbo, people say Jimbo's been on the hot seat because of all the failed seasons, recruiting, etc. But I've got to say, a tough ball game is going to be tight. It's going to come down to who makes the fewest mistakes. Who wins in the trenches? I think in the fourth quarter, I think Miami does enough. I think the running game starts to take over. And I think the adjustments at halftime, I think Mario will do a good job on that. I got to say, close ball game. Canes 24. A&M 20.
Okay.
So I want to thank you guys so much for coming on. And safe travels to the game, Morgan, on Saturday, and we'll talk again soon.
Thank you so much. Nice meeting both of you virtually.
Take care.
Yeah, no.